now. Joaquin Phoenix, three-time Oscar nominated, has portrayed everyone from a murderous Roman emperor and a distressed Jesus of Nazareth to the man in black himself, country music legend Johnny Cash. But it's Phoenix's latest role as DC Comics' iconic clown prince of crime in Todd Phillips' controversial Joker film that's whipped up quite a storm. With me now to discuss the career of Joaquin Phoenix and the roles that have defined it is Chris Wasser. Let's add a little bit to the Joker conversation. It's been going on for a little while. You're a fan of the film, Chris.
I am, yes.
I know that. You've seen it twice at this stage.
Yep.
But paying audiences are now having their say as well. What's the reaction been over this weekend? Big box office success.
Yes, and I'm so glad the paying audiences finally have a chance to see this film because it seems like we have been talking about it forever. It broke every record in the book. It had the largest October opening in America and worldwide. It took in $96 million in North America. And remember, this is an R-rated film, so it's not like Marvel films that can take in a couple of hundred million because the whole family can go and see it. You have to be of a certain age. It's 16 in Ireland. It took in $247 million worldwide. That makes it the biggest opening of Joaquin Phoenix's career. It's the biggest opening of Robert De Niro's career, of Todd Phillips. It took Warner out of a slump. It's the biggest opening they've had in 2 years. And it's also, it's bound to make double, maybe even triple that over the next few months while it stays on release.
On the aggregating site Rotten Tomatoes, 90% audience score, 70% from the critics. Is there something about Joaquin Phoenix that actually causes that type of marmite thing, or is it the controversy around the film and its treatment of mental illness that's causing that critical?
I'm not too sure. I mean, we've seen more recently that the audience score and the critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, they're getting wider. I mean, we saw with Ad Astra, it had a huge critical score, but the audience score was lower. Audiences maybe going in expecting like an action-packed sci-fi. They didn't get it with Ad Astra. Audiences going into Joker seems to like a lot more than critics, but Rotten Tomatoes is actually taking more and more reviews on board, especially for this film, because so many people are talking about it and because there have been extra reviews since it premiered at the Venice International Film Festival. Now, some people think it's still quite problematic. They've taken issue with the film's depiction of mental health and its violence, and some people are wondering if we really need this kind of film at the moment. My view on it is that it's not nearly as dangerous as people are saying, that it's an extraordinary piece of work that is quite bleak, but it is worth seeing. It's a fabulous piece of cinema.
All right, that's another opinion to add to the bundle. We're here to talk about Joaquin Phoenix and his career. You know, sometimes when actors change their name, you wonder why. But when your name is Joaquin Raphael Bottom, it's a good idea to change it. But his family had done it before he ever became an actor, hadn't he?
They had, yeah. So Joaquin Raphael Bottom, it is such a fabulous name. He was actually born in Puerto Rico in 1974. And his parents, so they were the Bottoms. They would later rename themselves the Phoenixes. And the reason they did that is because when they first started out, his parents, Arlene and John Lee, they met in the 60s. He actually picked her up. She was a hitchhiker. And they joined the notorious religious cult, the Children of God. And they were kind of made the so-called archbishops of the Children of God around Venezuela and Puerto Rico. And that's where they started a family. They had five children, Rain and Summer and Liberty and River and Joaquin. And they had a very, they were hippies, essentially, Sean.
They were rising out of the ashes. But Joaquin wasn't happy about, Rain, River, Summer, Liberty.
No.
He wasn't happy with Joaquin.
He wasn't. So by the time they went back to America, they actually got out of the cult when word spread around that the Children of God cult might not have been as innocent as they originally thought. So they departed, they got out of there, packed their bags, moved back to mainland America, and it was there that all of the children in the family started out busking on the streets and performing in talent shows. And the families thought, we've a bunch of little actors and singers on our hands here. And Joaquin Phoenix, they renamed themselves Phoenixes because they were coming out rising out of the ashes of this of their previous life, but Joaquin wanted to be called Leaf because he thought, how come I'm the only one that doesn't have a nature themed name? So for 6 years he was Leaf Phoenix. It's a great name, Sean.
Leaf Phoenix isn't bad, actually, although it's just been pointed out to me that before they changed their name from Bottom, River Bottom was...
River Bottom.
Joaquin's brother.
The late, great River Phoenix might not have had the Hollywood career that he had, short-lived as it was, with the name River Bottom.
No, I don't think so. Anyway, let's concentrate on Joaquin. He was in 1982, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Yes, he was...
Was this a stage musical, yeah?
It was actually
a TV
adaptation of it, yeah.
All right.
So he was only 8 years of age. Himself and River got a part in an episode of Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. The story goes that Irish Iris Burton, the talent scout. She spotted the kids at talent shows and singing on the street, and she got them working commercials. The only rules were that, you know, the family are vegans and they couldn't star in advertisements for, you know, fast food restaurants or sodas or anything that's bad for you. So they got some small television roles. Joaquin popped up in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. He popped up in Hill Street Blues. He was Superboy at one stage. And then, of course, they started making films.
And the one that he starred in, Joaquin starred in his debut, was Space Camp?
Space Camp, about a gang of kids who go to this space center, the Kennedy Space Center, to do some amateur teenage astronaut training.
The way you would. He was 12 at this point?
He's 12 at this stage, yeah.
Listen.
I have to take everything so literally.
How else should I take it?
No, no, Jinx, it's okay. Don't worry, you'll be okay. You know, you really need Jinx.
You're too right.
Friends forever?
Friends forever.
Ah, he's so cute. And that's not him at the end, obviously. But his little 12-year-old voice, Joaquin Phoenix, yep. Gorgeous in that Space Camp film, yeah. Did that kind of launch him into more serious stuff after that, even in his teenage years?
Not quite, yes. I mean, he did make a few more appearances in film in Rick Rosenthal's Ruskies, but more famously in Ron Howard's Parenthood, which is a fabulous film, which went on to inspire two television shows. But, you know, the cast in that film, you had Steve Martin in there, you had Rick Moranis, but you also had a lot of young actors starting to make names for themselves. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix actually shared the screen with Keanu Reeves. So critics noted him as, you know, a young performer to look out for, but after making Parenthood and Ruskies and Space Camp, he actually took a break from acting and started to travel with his dad. Meanwhile, his brother River stepped into the spotlight.
Yeah, and River, I suppose, Stand By Me, Running On Empty, My Own Private Idaho, etc. But then October the 31st, 1993, terrible day for the Phoenix family.
A tragic day for the Phoenix family. River Phoenix, 23 years of age, an Academy Award nominated actor, one of the most talked about actors of his generation, died outside the Viper Room of a drug overdose. And it was actually, he was surrounded by some very famous friends in the film and music industry. Johnny Depp, of course, owned the club. He was there. The Red Hot Chili Peppers were there. River Phoenix was with him that night, and he died on the pavement. Joaquin Phoenix was with his brother River, and it was Joaquin that made the phone call for the ambulance. And the reason why we didn't see much of Joaquin after this, even though he'd already taken a break, was because news channels around America would play Joaquin's phone call, his 911 call, over and over again. So you can't even begin to imagine what that would do to a guy.
You know, there's not a point at which you say, look, it's a family tragedy, leave it be.
Privacy is needed here, yeah.
So he was kind of off. Joaquin was off limits then for a while after that. Was Gladiator the comeback, or had he kind of built a, was there a few films before
No,
that?
He started slowly in independent features. He became very quickly, because after he starred in To Die For alongside Nicole Kidman, which is a Gus Van Sant film, and it's a delightfully unsettling dramedy, I suppose, about a woman who wants to make it big in television, but her husband, this is Nicole Kidman, her husband played by Matt Dillon, is kind of holding her back, and she hires these high school students, one of whom is Joaquin Phoenix, to bump him off. And he impressed a lot of critics in this. Roger Ebert became an early champion of him, and he went on to star in more independent features. He started to work with, you know, Oliver Stone in bit parts in his films. I think he starred in the Oliver Stone film Inventing the Abbots. He went on to star in 8mm with Nicolas Cage, and he built up a reputation as the most charismatic, most interesting actor in independent cinema. But then Ridley Scott hired him to be in one of his most commercially successful films, and all of a sudden we had Joaquin Phoenix going from independent cinema supporting player to center stage, you know, getting an Academy Award nomination for his role as a wicked emperor in Gladiator.
And let's hear him. He was kind of the nemesis of Russell Crowe, and Russell's given us his deep voice performance in this one. But here is Joaquin Phoenix facing up to Russell Crowe in Gladiator.
Only a famous death will do. And what could be more glorious than to challenge the Emperor himself in the great arena?
You would fight me?
Why not? Do you think I'm afraid?
I think you have been afraid all your life.
Unlike Maximus the Invincible, who knows no fear.
Are you a man who once said death smiles at us all? All a man can do is smile back.
No wonder. Did your friend smile at his own death?
You must know. You and your father.
You love my father, I know. But so did I. That makes us brothers, doesn't it? Smile for me now, brother.
Yeah, thought with that wouldn't end well. Joaquin Phoenix there as Emperor Commodus and Russell Crowe as, what's his name again? Maximus.
Maximus Decimus Medeus. Maximus.
That really, as you say, is Chris Wasser speaking to us this evening about the career of Joaquin Phoenix because of the success, among other things, of Joker. That was a real big splash for him. And it just grew and grew and grew from there.
It did, yeah. And the thing to note is, I mean, we could look into it, based on what happened in his personal life at the time, or the time he had away from acting to reflect on himself and what he wanted to do with his career. But when he returned, and when he starred in those films in the lead up to Gladiator and everything else afterwards, he returned with this intensity and this frightening commitment and determination, in his craft, that you hadn't seen from him as a kid. You listen to that Space Camp clip, that's a completely different actor. Yeah. I know he was only 12 at the time, but after Gladiator, he was nominated for an Academy Award, making him and himself and his brother River, his late brother River Phoenix, the only siblings in Hollywood history to ever have Academy Awards between them, or nominations at least. Yeah. But he started working with some big name directors. He started a great working relationship with James Gray. He appeared in a couple of M. Night Shyamalan films. But the next film that really broke him through with a leading role was James Mangold's Walk the Line.
Yeah, I'm going to finish with the clip of Johnny Cash, but there are a couple of films that he has done that you really think exemplify for us exactly how good he is. The Master is one.
Yeah, I think The Master is one where he shares the screen Philip Seymour Hoffman, and he plays this alcoholic World War II veteran who stumbles upon a religious cult and tries to figure out what they're all about. But the film for me with Joaquin Phoenix, I mean, all the films we've mentioned, he's been in supporting players. He's had the perfect sparring partners to bring out the best of him. It's the films where he's front and centre that really do it for me, and which really show how great an actor he is. And my favourite is probably Her, the Spike Jonze film, about this. It's set in the not too distant future. It's about a Los Angeles writer who is depressed about the breakdown of his marriage. He installs this artificially intelligent personal assistant, voiced by Scarlett Johansson, her name is Samantha, and he falls in love with her. And I'm willing to bet it's the only romantic drama in history where one actor is required to do all of the heavy lifting, and that's Joaquin Phoenix. And he's never been better than he was in Hollywood.
Right, but I do want to finish with the Johnny Cash thing, because how good was he as Johnny Cash?
He was so good that I cannot believe he did not win an Oscar. He was beaten by Philip Seymour Hoffman for Capote, which I'm sure he can live with, and I can too, I'm sure. But he was so good here that a lot of critics, Roger Ebert, myself, a lot of critics watched this film and thought, that has to be Johnny Cash singing in the background. It wasn't. It was Joaquin Phoenix.
Well, let's listen to him. It's just before he sings, in fact, in Folsom Prison, and he's speaking to those who are incarcerated there. Great stuff, this.
See, I never had to do hard time like you, although I have, on occasion, got myself busted. Once in El Paso, I had this dagger. Have you heard about that? You've been in El Paso, too? Anyways, I felt tough, you know? Like I'd seen a thing or two, you know? Well, that was till a moment ago. Because I gotta tell you, my hat's off to you now. Because I ain't never had to drink this yellow water you got here at Folsom.
And off he goes, Joaquin Phoenix in Walk the Line. And it was Chris Wasser who was speaking to us about the career of Joaquin Phoenix this evening, playing the title role, Joaquin Phoenix in Joker, in cinemas now. We reviewed it on last Thursday's programme, so you could go back to the website if you want to have a listen there, rte.ie/radio1/arena.